Live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to look at flaxseed and how it can improve your blood pressure. We're going to look at all the different things concerning our diet to live a longer life. We're going to look at a commentary from Ralph Nader on the 10 reasons the Trans-Pacific Partnership is not a progressive trade agreement from Common Dreams. We're going to look at how the government is using secrecy as a weapon. We're also going to explore how America invites terrorism and also collateral damage, drone warfare. My guest in the second part of our program as a newsmaker will be Norma Erickson talking about the human papillomavirus vaccine and what is actually going on with this vaccine. This is for all the people, the parents, and the activists in California who are trying to stop the legislation. For that, we're going to have a clip from Shannon Grove speaking from the legislature against forced vaccination based upon constitutional issues, not just health issues. And then I'm going to play you something that's really very important to this whole dialogue. Who's behind this? Who wants us to have no freedom of choice? Who wants us to have our bodies filled with toxins that have never been tested in any human study on combinations long-term to see if they work? Well, it's the American Legislative Exchange Council, and an Atlanta TV station did an important undercover investigation where they went to one of their sessions. You'll hear that segment, and then you'll see that Alec in Atlanta is Alec in every state, including California, and that's who's behind this mandating of vaccines in all 50 states, because the pharmaceutical companies, they're behind this. Also, we're going to look at the issues involving, I don't know if we'll have time today, but people who are being overdiagnosed, misdiagnosed, and overdrugged with psychiatric medications. So as you see, we have a lot to share. Let's begin. Flaxseed is where we get our flaxseed oil. I recommend the flaxseed oil because then it's 100% digested. Flaxseed can go right through your system and not get it really opened. But in this particular study, 1,300 participants showed the flaxseed supplementations are associated with a substantial reduction in both systolic and diastolic blood pressure. And, quote, the results obtained in the present meta-analysis, that means multiple studies, show a substantial decrease in hypertension management with nutraceuticals. Nutraceuticals mean a nutritional supplement that acts in the body in a positive way. And that's the study. So it was a 12-week study. So my suggestion is let's use flaxseed oil in our diet on a regular basis. And it's a pro-inflammatory. It turns off inflammation. In fact, they said it right here in the study. It says, quote, it has been shown that these anti-inflammatories are impacted. So hypertension is very inflammatory. And so we want to get people to do the right thing. So take your flaxseed oil. I suggest a teaspoon. And if you take it with coconut oil, that's ideal. Also something new. And this comes from a study done at the Mayo Clinic Children's Center. It's showing adult diseases can strike kids. And doctors are now seeing hypertension, diabetes, and osteoporosis in children. Now, osteoporosis, you generally, historically, wouldn't see until you were in your 60s and 70s. Quote from the Capitol, once seen only among an older population, adult diseases such as fatty liver disease, hypertension, osteoporosis are being diagnosed more and more in children. And you can add to that sleep apnea, type 2 diabetes, and high cholesterol levels. The culprits, unhealthy diets and growing waistlines. And then it goes on to talk about, quote, Several studies have shown that obesity is unrecognized by parents as well as physicians. And, of course, when you're overweight, you're going to be more susceptible to diabetes and hypertension, etc. So at least now, for the first time, it is no longer a controversy. It is an absolute fact. We're seeing old age diseases in young children. Well, one thing we can do to keep ourselves younger longer, dancing. This was an interesting study that showed that, quote, dancing is a language of physical exercise that sparks new brain cells, what is called neurogenesis, and their connections that are responsible for acquiring knowledge and thinking. Dancing makes some neurons nimble so that they readily wire into the neural network. And neural network is what is important in keeping the brain's ability to change throughout life. And so that's important. So dancing stimulates the release of brain-derived protein neurotrophic factor that promotes growth and maintenance of neurons. So you continue to learn longer and have a greater memory longer. And dance is a means to help improve mood and cope with stress that can motivate or interfere with learning and body senses. So it's important. So dance and stay younger. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, just finished with a study that deals with DNA breakage, quote, underlines both learning and age-related damage. Quote, the finding reported in a paper published today in the journal Cell could ultimately help researchers develop new approaches to preventing cognitive decline in disorders such as Alzheimer's disease. Each time we learn something new, our brain cells break their DNA, creating damage that the neurons must immediately repair. That's according to the person here. This process is essential to learning and memory. Cells physiologically break their DNA to allow certain important genes to be expressed. In the case of neurons, they need to break their DNA to enable the expression of early response genes, which ultimately pave the way for the transcriptional program that supports learning and memory and many other behaviors. So, why is this important? Why should we know this? Because here is what is not in the article, but I've had a lot of experience studying this. What we know now is that our DNA is very susceptible to anything that is pro-inflammatory. And one of the most pro-inflammatory things people take into their body is alcohol. So let's just say that you are relaxing, you're socializing, you're with friends, and you think nothing about having a glass of alcohol. You're certainly not having it to get drunk if you're the average person. College students, that's a different matter. High school students, definitely a different matter. But for the average mature adult, no. It's just part of the social contract. People expect it. But what's happening inside your body is you're now causing massive DNA damage. In effect, you're weakening your DNA. That in turn leads to degeneration. And so when you're young and you break your DNA, because you're learning new things, your cells are able to repair themselves. The older you get, older meaning over the age of 27, the more challenging it is, and it becomes very difficult to repair. And as a result, when you can't repair damage to your DNA, especially in the brain, or the heart, or the nervous system, or the liver, or the kidneys, then you end up with the diseases of those organs. So we focus upon the diseased organ and minimizing symptoms. So if you got rid of all alcohol in any amount, and you got rid of fried foods, pizzas, hamburgers, all the foods that are common to the fast food generation, and you focus more on healthy juices and fermented foods and fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds, then you're actually giving your body the nutrients to repair DNA. So you slow down the aging process. And hence, the older you get, as long as you continue to feed the body polyphenols like grapes are one of the best things in the world for your body and your brain, then you're giving it resveratrol, which is in the grape skin and the grape seed, and proanthocyanins, then your cells are protected. So very simply, high inflammation, speed up the aging. high antioxidants slow down the aging, protecting your brain. Now, a new study from the Salk Institute, published in the peer-reviewed journal Molecular Psychiatry, shows that a low glycemic index diet reduces symptoms of autism in this laboratory study. Now, low glycemic means the slow, low release of natural sugars from a particular food. Now, your real low glycemic foods would be nuts and seeds. They have very little sugar. And beans and legumes, like soybeans and lentils and split peas. And then you would have your, a lot of fruits have low glycemic, like your citrus fruits, lemons, limes, oranges, tangelos, kumquats, grapefruit, very low glycemic. That's why they're very good for people with hypoglycemia and diabetes. Apples are actually good too, as are pears. But you have to stay on low or very little of the dried fruits because those are higher glycemic. But white rice, bad, high glycemic. And pastas, bad, high glycemic. And bagels and muffins and pancakes and waffles, very high glycemic. So this study shows if you keep on a low glycemic diet, you could help with all the symptoms of autism. Recently, when I was on the road, I happened to meet the Ortega son and father. And I hadn't spoken with him in about a year and a half. And he's a thriving teenager, outstanding health, as is the whole family. The Ortegas were retired New York City police officers from Bedford-Stuyvesant. And they are living in a bucolic environment. She is doing gluten-free, dairy-free recipes and selling them at the farmer's market and loves her new life. They all do. And from the time that he started, when he couldn't utter a single word, he would grunt until today, where he can play multiple musical instruments, graduated number one in his class, and is a thriving adult, young adult. He's a late teenager now. It was why. It was supplementing the mitochondria in the gut with fermented foods, supplementing the neurons in the brain and this internal nervous system with oxidative, high oxygen nutrients, methylated agents such as B12 and folic acid, but absolutely zero processed foods, no fried foods, no inflammatory foods, and everything to turn off inflammation, bromelain, and pepsin and pepsigen and coconut oils. And over a period of years, this is the result. So the next time someone says autism, well, no one's ever been cured of it. It's not true. There are a lot of people today who had full-blown autism spectrum disorder who are completely normal in their functioning. You would never know they had a thing wrong with them. And not just Jonathan, who I work with, but hundreds across the United States using various and different holistic modalities. So, but the first thing you do, you have to heal the gut and then heal the central nervous system. And this says one of the things that can happen is get them on a low glycemic diet, whole foods, and that helps. And also, finally, there's a good study that published by the journal Clinics that there is life-extending effects of the amino acid N-acetylcysteine, or what we call NAC. And they tested it in a roundworm and that is almost always used in gerontological research. Quote, in this study, we examined the effects of NAC supplementation on resistance to various environmental stressors, including oxidative stress, heat shock, and ultraviolet radiation in vivo. We also determined whether N-acetylcysteine could extend lifespan and affect fertility, which is closely related to aging. And it did. It worked. So my suggestion, 500 milligrams a day of NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Oh, and by the way, there is good information on how you can detoxify the body from vaccinations. Natural News put out a list, and I would certainly agree with it. It's ones I would suggest. Niacin, vitamin C, spirulina, chlorella, diatomaceous earth, some edible clays, the good healthy fats like coconut oil, and different herbals all accelerate the detoxification process when they're accompanied by a healthy diet. And one of the best ways is through saunas and sweating, but also niacin. Now, niacin we call vitamin B3. It's very inexpensive. It's probably one of your most powerful detoxifying nutrients. And you want the, some people intentionally use the flush, and it kind of scares them because your skin turns red and you get itchy and you feel very hyper. So for the non-flush, you can also use it as well. And it makes a big difference in the process. But I find the best detoxifying juice to be wheatgrass juice with lemon juice and ginger juice, taken 3 times a day. I realize not everybody can go on a detox weekend or a health retreat, so that's one of the things they can do on a regular basis. They can also do a green apple, celery, cucumber, and lemon juice twice a day, 16 ounces, with vitamin C. That will also help pick it up and help guide it. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a brief break and come back, and then we're going to help the people in California because tomorrow they are supposed to be voting on this measure to take away all exemptions from any parent. In effect, they're telling the parents, you don't count. Your experience with your child doesn't count. We, the state, count. So we'll hear what one of the legislators who supports the parents' rights of choice has to say on this matter. Please stay with us back in a moment. Welcome you. We have people listening all over the world, and vaccines are being implemented all over the world, and they're trying to get it mandatory. I certainly would support the idea of a vaccine that was proven safe and effective, but I have yet to see the science that proves that they are safe and effective, individually or taken in a group. I've seen just the opposite with massive research in the areas of toxicology. So we're going to go in a second to hear what one state legislator has to say. Also, for those of you who are wanting to listen to this program and you may not be near a land-based station that you normally hear it or over the internet, you can always take your cell device, your phone, and dial this number and listen live at noon Eastern Standard Time. That number is, write it down please, 712-432-7231, 712-432-7231. We are approaching 20 million minutes, people listening. Number one in North and South America, of all the thousands upon thousands of radio stations, this program's number one, people listening when they're out and about at noon. Now, let's go over and hear what Assemblywoman Shannon Grove says about forced vaccinations in California.
SB 277 removes our state's personal belief exemption, forcing an open-ended list of vaccinations on our children, even when there's no philosophical, religious, or medical reasons not to comply. California children, your California children, have a constitutional right to an education. Stops that. This bill also threatens your freedom. California, if this bill passes, will be one of three states with no personal or religious exemption. What's next if this bill passes? Let's take this exact bill and remove the word vaccine. And what do you get? Sacramento politicians, some of them up here, they don't trust you as parents. They assume you're ignorant or stupid. They think that you can't be trusted with the care of your own children. But they have forgotten who they work for. There are voter registration cards floating around this audience. Fill out a voter registration card and tell them that you're going to register your vote with the people that support your right and your freedom to choose what's best for your child. There is no public health crisis here that warrants this law. These politicians don't want you to think for yourself. They think they are better parents than you are, and they are annoyed that you are clogging up their hallways. They are annoyed that you are demanding to be left alone. They are annoyed that you are not compliant. They don't want you to question their wisdom or their expertise. They don't want you demanding your freedom or your constitutional rights for your children to a good quality education. They think they have the final say-so. I have four daughters. Their main statement to me is, hello, they're your kids. Right? Ultimately, these people in this building, most of them don't believe in your parental rights. And they might say that they do believe in your parental rights, but only if you agree with them. If you disagree with them, then they don't. Devin, who you just served with, I'm apologizing, Assemblymember Mathis, who you just served or just listened to, and myself have taken an oath. When we joined the United States Army, and when we've been elected on the state assembly floor and sworn into office, and all of us put our hand in the air to swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, including Dr. Pan. You cannot violate the oath that you took, whether you're defending this nation or defending the freedom of parents like you. Your voter registration will make a difference. It really will. Find the people that are passing it out, fill it out, and when you walk into that hearing room, you tell them you oppose SB 277 and you have your voter registration card to prove it. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Because if they take this from you and you cower down, this will not be the last thing they take from you. Stand up and make your voices heard and continue to do it. It really does make a difference. God bless you and thank you for being here.
All right, now that was one of the assembly persons who spoke out, Shannon Grove, G-R-O-V-E, and we appreciate that. We have sent every member of the California Assembly that I'm aware of three different documentaries, Vaccine Nation, The Silent Epidemic, and Autism Made in USA, as well as 35 articles, all fully scholarly, referenced, vetted for accuracy. Any doctor, any nurse, any professional in the United States or around the world that wants to know the truth about vaccines, these articles provide that truth. So they have what they need. Now the question is, why wouldn't they be interested in what the public wants? Well, our next segment explains that. Let's listen to an Atlanta TV station that just aired one of the best takedowns of the secretive nature of ALEC we've ever seen.
A coastal resort protected by armed guards. That was the private meeting place for Georgia legislators and corporate lobbyists.
Now, who paid for it all? That's the big question. Chief Investigator Brendan Keefe holds the powerful accountable tonight. Brendan?
The 11 Alive investigators discovered an organization that gets money from lobbyists, gives it to legislators, and it's all considered charity. we found the fabled back rooms where laws are really made. We can't show you what's behind this closed door. A place where legislators and corporate lobbyists have an equal vote. A place they don't want you to see.
You need to be credentialed at registration.
We are credentialed. We are Georgia. We're Georgia Media. Are there legislators in there? Are there legislators in there? We are Georgia credentialed media.
Please step over here. Please step over here.
What? There's Georgia legislators here. Are laws being made in there? This isn't the state capitol. It's a resort hotel in Savannah where lawmakers are wined and dined as members of the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. What is ALEC?
It's really a corporate bill mill. I mean, they're cranking out legislation, putting it in the hands of legislators who go back and file it.
Georgia Senator Nan Orrick would know. She was once an ALEC member. What happens in these back rooms?
There are votes taken that have the corporate folks at the same table voting with the legislators on what bills to pick. And that at its core just screams out inappropriate.
You're telling me that in these rooms a corporation has an equal vote with a legislator on a piece of legislation?
They absolutely vote, and the truth be told, they write the bills.
ALEC bills come complete with blanks where legislators need only fill in their state name, like the Asbestos Claims Priorities Act. This Georgia law that now prevents many asbestos victims from suing corporations matches the ALEC bill clause after clause, often word for word. The final vote was taken here at the Georgia Capitol. But the bill was first approved here, inside a Las Vegas casino at a closed-door ALEC meeting. Records show the three Georgia senators who sponsored the bill received more than $22,000 in ALEC scholarships to attend resort meetings the year before, during, and after the asbestos law was passed. This is money from corporations to legislators, but it's being filtered through ALEC, and they get a tax write-off?
Well, ALEC is a 501c3 organization, charitable educational purposes.
That's right. ALEC is an educational charity. The signature of Georgia's Speaker of the House, David Ralston, appears on this 2013 ALEC fundraising letter. He writes, "Your support of the scholarship fund is critical, enabling Georgia legislators to attend the annual meetings. Donations are 100% tax deductible and fund education efforts for legislators." Who's doing the educating? Inside that closed-door committee room in Savannah we couldn't show you, we saw the lobbyist for the cell phone industry seated across from Georgia State Rep Ben Harbin right before we were pulled out. Here we're credentialed to observe legislators here in Georgia, wherever they meet, to discuss laws. He's calling for backup. Alex staffers had four off-duty sheriff's deputies standing by while we talked with the group's director of communications. Can we do an interview with you?
Actually, no.
Why not?
If you'd please turn the camera on.
No, we can't turn the camera off. That's one thing we don't do.
Okay. Well, then I'd like to have you escorted out of the building, please.
Okay. I'm a guest of this hotel. I'm actually staying here at this hotel.
You are staying at this hotel.
Yes. So here's the question is, if Georgia legislators are meeting here, we're credentialed right here to see Georgia legislators making laws. Are they discussing things that could become law here?
Georgia legislators are here participating in discussions where they're learning from legislators from others.
So why can't the people who elected them see the process?
This is a private meeting.
A private meeting paid for by whom?
By our members and donors.
Our lobbyists, correct?
No.
Are you here for this conference, too?
Are you really?
We met two lobbyists and a state representative from New England in the hotel bar the night before and recorded our conversation.
You have to pay your own way?
Well, on a trip like this, absolutely. That's where you would come in, man. On a trip like this, I'm the state And I look for financial support.
Right.
Lobbyists or people like, to send us like a couple $1,000 every so often. That gives me money to help those folks with. Now, on the other hand,
we pay more to be here, so it helps support them.
You do.
I see. So the lobbyist fees to come to the event actually help subsidize the legislator coming here.
Are lobbyists, correct?
No.
They're not lobbyists? The ones that we recorded in the bar last night aren't lobbyists who are here members?
He signals to the sheriff's deputies.
All right, I'm a guest of the hotel,
not
sir.
Not for long.
I'm here, okay. But paying guest of this hotel, sir.
We'll take care of that.
Okay. Escort you up to your room and get your things.
Did we violate some law or something? I mean, are we violating a law here? Don't say nothing. One of the Georgia senators who sponsored that asbestos bill, Renee Unterman, told the 11 Alive investigators she later dropped out of ALEC, calling it a group of angry white men controlled by industry, not legislators. Major corporations like Atlanta-based Coca-Cola have also dropped out of ALEC.
Wow, eye-opening to say the least. Do lawmakers have to report payments for travel to these kinds of resort meetings?
You would think, Brenda, but in Georgia, the answer is no. We filed half a dozen open records requests with Georgia legislators, including the Speaker of the House asking for receipts and reimbursements to ALEC events. Well, today, we received this letter from their lawyer. Your request is denied. Quote, the General Assembly is not subject to the Georgia Open Records Law. Huh. In other words, lawmakers specifically exempted themselves from a law they passed to make Georgia government more transparent.
It's a good thing more you made it out there. The guards were standing for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wow. This is just baffling.
We'll stay on here.
And we wouldn't know it had it not been for this report.
No.
All right, Brendan,
Thanks. Thank you.
Mind-blowing. Thank you.
And you wouldn't know it from 60 Minutes 2020, Dateline. Why don't we have the American media expose ALEC? Because ALEC members represent the vast majority of advertising for virtually all media in the United States. So if you want to know why there's 111 pieces of legislation to mandate vaccines that are both dangerous and unsafe, where there's no human scientific studies to prove their safety or efficacy, look no further than ALEC. Look no further than the hustle going on behind closed door. And I believe that you should ask in writing your state legislator today, no matter what state you're in, have you ever attended an ALEC meeting? And if you have, never again vote for that person. They've already sold their vote. That's all. That's who's behind it. Now, let me give you a little more update on all this. This is from the latest study, and we can thank Anthony Gucciardi for this. Report Pfizer, that by the way, that makes vaccines, hid link between antidepressants and birth defects. Quote, pharmaceutical mammoth Pfizer faces more than 1,000 lawsuits from victims who say that the company knew about the relationship between birth defects and their number one best-selling antidepressant, a claim that Pfizer has, of course, battled against. Now, however, new reports have surfaced that Pfizer's own scientific advisors were warning of the deadly link for more than a year. Something that my team told you in 2012 was already going on. According to Bloomberg, quote, a Pfizer Inc. report shows a scientist warned executives last year about a potential link between the antidepressant drug Zoloft and birth defects and recommended changes to the medication safety warning. The document from a Pfizer drug study official might complicate the company's efforts to fend off lawsuits brought by parents of children with malformed hearts. Pfizer has consistently rejected suggestions Zoloft caused newborn abnormalities and said Monday the document was taken out of context by lawyers suing the company, end quote. In other words, Pfizer likely employed a popular big pharma tactic, ignore any science that reveals serious side effects, and instead choose to pay some relatively meager fines for the damages. After all, paying a few million or even billion in fines is often nothing compared to the profits from drugs like Zoloft, which made $2.9 billion last year alone for the company. So it's all the cost of doing business. And they factor in lying, cheating, deceiving, because they know that in America we are so retarded in our corporate structures that instead of revoking a charter, which is what we should do, when they intentionally and with malice aforethought break the law and cause injury, we simply fine them. They smile, bonuses go up, profits go up, Wall Street loves it, the banks loves it, and the public forgets it. Also today, I want to share with you that Merck should be very concerned. Why? Because you have whistleblowers. Now, the mainstream media, with the exception of Reuters, did not mention this at all that I could find. For 5 years, two whistleblowers, two scientists, are saying that Merck engaged in vaccine fraud, and they filed another court document in their case accusing Merck of withholding evidence, not complying with court orders. Brendan Pearson reports, quote, two former Merck scientists accusing the drug maker of falsifying tests of its exclusive mumps vaccine said in a court filing on Monday that Merck is refusing to respond to questions about the efficacy of the vaccine. Attorneys who represent the scientists asked U.S. Magistrate Judge Lynn Sitarski of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania to compel Merck to respond to their discovery request, which asked the company to give the efficacy of the vaccine as a percentage. Instead of answering the question, the letter said Merck has been consistently evasive, using cut-and-paste answers saying it cannot run a new clinical trial to determine the current efficacy. And by the way, the mainstream media, virtually silent on five-year-old fraud case. Now, in California, part of the vaccines are going to be mandated is this Merck vaccine. So I just want to give you a little integrity issue concerning the company. And by the way, we have a list of all the lawsuits that every vaccine manufacturer has paid, how many people been injured and killed. And if you saw this, you would say, why in the world would we ever want any product from any of these companies? These are serial offenders. But just like in Atlanta, Georgia, and how the legislators, some legislators, can be bought, it is, I wouldn't say some in New York and New Jersey, they rush to get money in their pockets. We have so much corruption in New York and New Jersey, I don't even discuss it anymore, nor does anyone find it unusual when everyone imaginable is brought up on charges or found guilty. But in California, equally bad. So challenge them, call them out. Now, here's something else. This is important. We want to address the issue of lawyers. There's a group of lawyers right now who are coming forward and trying to join in a lawsuit to stop what's going on in California and bring charges against the vaccine makers. So it's important that people know this. And if you're a lawyer, I'll be posting information, which is posted on my website, of who you can reach out to and you can get in touch with. And because we want to challenge in all 50 states, because it's the same legislation, same people are behind it. And it's the healthfreedomaction.org/lawyers. Opposed to California, SB 277. But you can just go to our site and the information is there. And we're calling for lawyers in Arkansas, Hawaii, Montana, Mississippi, North Dakota, Nebraska, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, and West Virginia. That's where we are trying to bring the cases. And my own in-house attorneys will be helping lead the charge in New York State. We intend to sue everyone. I mean everyone. And we have a lot of information. Needless to say, as an investigative journalist, I will bring all this out and make it public once New York starts to push for mandatory vaccines. And watch what we expose about the legislators and everyone else involved. You see, like the IRS, by the time we go after you, we already have everything we need, and we've got everything we need. So if you're a lawyer and you want to join the challenge to stop mandatory vaccines in all states, then it's healthfreedomaction.org, and that'll help those people, because there's a whole coalition of lawyers all across the country. And finally, on this issue, the United Kingdom newspaper reveals injuries and deaths from specific vaccines. This is from Jonathan Benson, Natural News. Quote, a major United Kingdom media outlet has made a bold move by publishing official adverse drug reaction data obtained from the government, showing that contrary to the options and opinions of pro-vaccine talking heads, childhood vaccines are indeed responsible for causing tens of thousands of serious injuries and deaths among children. A data sheet contained figures, quote, of spontaneous suspected adverse drug reaction reports in association with vaccine. And in just from January 2005 to April 2015 reveals that nearly 22,000 vaccine-related injuries or deaths have been reported to public authorities. The UK's independent newspaper published the following chart illustrating a breakdown of the total number of adverse drug reactions and the vaccines. And you'll notice that the human papillomavirus vaccine Gardasil, made by Merck, and Cervarix by GlaxoSmithKline, take the top spot. So that, they've been saying, oh, there's only a few injuries or deaths. No. No, in fact, this one figure says 218,220 children and adults in the United Kingdom have been injured or killed by vaccines over the past decade. That's a whole lot. And mind you, that's just not including everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break, come back with our newsmaker in a moment. But first, I'm going to be doing two screenings. One is in New York City for our sister station WBAI of my new feature film, Saving the Planet. It will be on June, 1 week from today, June 17th at 6 p.m. You cannot get tickets at the door. You've got to call, and you'll get two copies of the film, plus watch the film, plus a discussion afterwards. And we'd like to see a lot of people there because this helps the station. And the station just finished a fundraising drive, but it didn't go well, unfortunately. So they need some help, and this will help them. So here is the number to call, 877-627-5065. That's 877-627-5065. And the make your pledge, it's $30. Come and see the film. It's a beautiful theater. It's the Sony Theaters at 68th and Broadway. And get your tickets now. We will be full, even though I rented and paid for the largest theater I could there. All the theater showings of all my documentaries fill up. This is only one night. That's it. Now, separately, so that number again for New York next a week from today at 6 o'clock for the screening of the new feature film Saving the Planet, it will also be screened in Woodstock. There's a Woodstock screening, Saving the Planet, Saturday, June 20th, 7 p.m. I'll be there in person. There'll be a Q&A afterwards. If it fills up, we'll do a second screening. And the station that is carrying this program, a wonderful station, Woodstock 104 FM and WIOF 104.1. And the screening will be at the Mountain View Studio, which is 20 Mountain View Avenue, Woodstock, New York, just left off Rock City Road, north of the Village Green. Now, it's a nonprofit event, just like BAI. But they're suggesting a donation of $20, and you'll receive one copy of the tape. I'm going to drive up, do the screening, hopefully two. I do it for free. And I'm paying for the free gift copies because I want to help the station because they do outstanding broadcasting. So that's again in Woodstock, June 20th, 7 p.m. So those are the two places we're showing the film. In New York next Wednesday, you won't want to miss it. Now we're going to play just a few minutes of it to show you the quality of the information and the visuals, the special effects that I filmed are probably the most extensive and detailed of any documentary I've ever done. And this is one powerful film. You will not want to miss it.
I spent about 2 years working undercover for the Humane Society and other animal protection groups, working undercover at various livestock farms. One of the farms I worked at kept literally millions of chickens where they never got any human oversight, any veterinary care. It was very common to see animals that had become trapped in their cages by their wings, their legs, or even their necks.
Egg-laying chickens in these battery cages have parts of their beaks cut off so they don't peck each other and injure each other because they're packed so tightly. The chicks that are hatched at these egg hatcheries, where they're hatching out the laying hens, the males are useless. They don't grow fast enough to be raised profitably for meat. They will never lay eggs, so they're killed on the day they hatch.
I've seen animals die of dehydration or starvation or trampling.
Pigs in these confinement systems have their tails cut off so that they don't nibble on each other's tails, which is an aberrant behavior that occurs.
mother sows are kept in what they call gestation crates, which are basically these cages barely bigger than their bodies, so they can barely move about a step in their entire lives. After they give birth, they have about a month to wean their young before they're old enough to be shipped out to a grow-out facility where they're raised for pork. They've been through this 4, 5, 6 times, and many of them struggle and try to get out of their cage, obviously futilely.
Do they ever get mad when you take the kids?
Yes. The cows come crazy when I take the babies.
What most people don't think enough about is the cruelty involved in the production of dairy. Cows who are used in milk production today in the United States produce 10 times more milk than they would normally. They're pushed way beyond their biological limits, and they're sent to slaughter after just about 3 or 4 years in production. In a healthy environment, these cows would live 20 years.
The everyday operating procedures at a lot of these factory farms are just insanely cruel. And then on top of it, we have these workers who are abusing animals for kicks.
That's the fifth time. You're going to get the fist next time. Probably why I got arthritis big time this year.
From punching cows?
Probably. Look at that wrench did to her.
Bam! Bam!
These workers, they were the exception. What was much more disturbing for me to see was that the other workers, they never did anything to try to stop these workers.
It's unethical to treat animals like this. The reason why we can't get into these factory farms and, you know, do our documentaries, report on what's really going on, the reason why states like Iowa and other big industrial ag states are passing draconian laws that prevent you from even taking pictures if you're a media representative inside of a factory farm, it's because they don't want us to know.
Legislators who've drafted and introduced these bills are former presidents of the Iowa Pork Council and other industry trade groups.
They want the public to sit down and not think about what happened before this piece of meat got on my plate.
There's no other industry that could keep journalists from prying into their industry. Somehow, animal agribusiness is the one entity that's really being able to get away with this.
Uproar tonight over what animal advocates call the Ag Gag Bill. Lawmakers again trying to make it a crime to photograph or videotape farms in America. Why? Animal Advocates Act. What is the factory farming industry trying to hide about the way animals are treated on farms? We called the sponsor of this bill in Florida and did not hear back by deadline. If this new bill passes, it would reportedly criminalize filming or photographing of farms without written consent. Is this to stop the wave of undercover investigations into how billions of animals are treated on America's farms?
There's real value to these undercover investigations. And again, the First Amendment certainly is implicated. Why not be good corporate citizens? Why don't the farmers want us to be there? Why not be transparent?
We have an ethical responsibility, I believe, not just to other humans and to the future generations. We have an ethical responsibility to all living creatures.
And justice must be blind to race, color, religion, and to species. If she is not blind, she will be used as a weapon of terror. And there is unimaginable terror in those ghastly gulags we call factory farms and slaughterhouses.
And that was just a small clip from the upcoming feature documentary, Saving the Planet. And indeed, once you walk out of the theater, you'll feel both inspired by what you've learned, shocked by many of the visual images, but also uplifted by the fact that individually and collectively, we can make a difference. We can save our planet. Call for reservations, New York, for next Wednesday evening. One showing only. That's it. 877-627-5065. It is a fundraiser for WBAI. And also, you don't call in Woodstock. There's no number to call. You simply just show up at the theater. That's a different date. That's Saturday, June the 20th, 7 p.m. And you'll show up at Mountain View Studio, 20 Mountain View Avenue in Woodstock. That's north of the Village Green, and with a donation of $20. I'm Gary Noll. Let's now go out to Troy, Montana, where standing by is Norma Erickson. She is the president of SaneVax, a science-based organization that advocates for the safety, efficacy, and affordability of vaccines in order for families and their children to make informed decisions on whether or not to vaccinate. And nice to have you with us today, Norma.
Thank you, Gary. It's nice to be here.
Norma, I'm concerned that the American public does not know the truth about Gardasil and the human papillomavirus vaccine, that there has never been any article or study that proves that it can prevent cervical cancer. In point of fact, just the opposite in some cases of what it can do to a young girl taking it or young boy. And not only that, but all the suppositions are mathematical models. And they don't tell you, well, we have a hypothesis based upon a mathematical model, and we really won't know for 20 to 40 years if our model is correct. And in the interim, a lot of kids have died, tens of thousands have been injured, and yet it's one of the ones being mandated for California, and it'll be mandated for all 50 states if these 111 pieces of legislation get through. Your thoughts on this, please.
Gary, you're exactly correct. Every single statement you said was true. And it's appalling. There's no excuse for this kind of pseudoscience to even exist. People watch labels for their GMO foods. They try to make their baby formula healthy. They watch labels on baby food jars. Why don't they watch the labels on vaccines?
Give us your current number of young people who've died using the Gardasil vaccine and who've been hospitalized or paralyzed.
Oh, heavens. I can do that for the United States and the VAERS reports that have come in from other countries. But I think I will get you those numbers right here. There have been 1,317 disabled, 227 deaths, 7,729 that did not recover, and 102 with cervical cancer.
So let's focus on that for a moment. So more women, young girls, who normally would not have gotten cervical cancer, ended up with cervical cancer after they received the vaccine. Rather ironic, isn't it?
Yes, it's more than ironic. It's criminal.
And yet this is what those legislators in California are trying to ram down the throats in California. And then every single state, you'll see the same bought-off legislators or compromised legislators or just bone-dense, stupid legislators who are incapable of doing their own homework, who want to sacrifice a whole generation of young people because of the profits of the pharmaceutical industry.
Absolutely. The one good thing that's come out of this bill in California is it has awakened people that had no clue before. And that's a big plus. The outrageousness of their statements, they're obviously false statements that can be checked, fact-checked by anyone, are coming to the surface, and people are finally starting to realize that they need to do some research.
Let's go through what it is about the Gardasil vaccine and the Cervarix vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, that you're concerned about. Tell us what your feedback from parents across the nation, around the world, and the scientists, physicians are saying about the human papillomavirus vaccine.
We're getting case reports of things like ADEM, acute disseminated mild brain inflammation is the term for it. Autoimmune disorders running across the board, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, thyroid problems, fertility problems, bad pap smears, actually cancer. Probably the biggest plus is the fact that people in other countries are looking at it with a critical eye. Japan rescinded their recommendation for the use. They also instituted 20-year-long studies to find out if indeed cervical cancer will be impacted by HPV vaccines. Another 23-year study on the long-term effects of the HPV vaccine. India has a case in the Supreme Court. France has multiple civil cases filed, as does Spain. People in Colombia are trying to get it in the court. People in Mexico are trying to get it in the court system. People in the UK and Australia and Canada are trying to get it in the court system. There's even a rather large firm in the United States trying to get it in the court system for basically false statements, false advertising, that type of thing. But the most concerning thing for me is the last clinical trial for Gardasil 9 revealed the true number of serious adverse events to be expected after both Gardasil and Gardasil 9. And that in and of itself is reason for every parent to do their research before this. After Gardasil, the rate of serious adverse events was 3.3%. That means for every 100,000 girls injected to avoid 7 cases of cancer in the United States, there will be 3,300 serious adverse events with Gardasil. That's what people need to pay attention to.
Is it not correct to say that more girls have died because of taking the vaccine than would have been protected from the cervical cancer?
Yes, that if, well, we have to understand that the VAERS reports are self-reports and they're not, cause has not been proven yet, but there are more deaths after HPV vaccinations than there are cervical cancer diagnosis.
And yet with these tens of thousands of adverse events, you would think that legislators would say, hold on a second. We have way too many injuries and deaths, and how many is too many? At what point do we say after 200, 300, 500, what is the magical number of lives lost before we realize how precious a life is? And what if it was the legislator or physician or nurse or pharmacist's life that was affected or their children's lives? What if we said the only people who will die after taking this vaccine or be injured are legislators and physicians? Do you think we would be offered this vaccine today?
No, I don't believe so.
Then it shows you what they think of other people's lives, the value of life. It has no value. I'm just appalled by it. I don't believe any parent should ever give their kid this vaccine, ever, under any circumstance.
I don't either.
Well, we thank you. Norma, keep up the good work. Norma Erickson is with SANE, S-A-N-E, VAX, V-A-X, a science-based organization, and they have all the different studies. They have all these pediatricians and others who finally are reading the research and coming forward and telling us the truth. Thank you very much, Diane or Norma. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more on tomorrow's program. Have a nice day, everyone.
Besides better detection, better detection off the table, I agree we have better detection, but it...